This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Friday, October the 20th. I'm Angela Denning. The prospect of drilling rigs in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge just got a little more realistic. The U.S. Senate approved a budget resolution last night that includes an energy section. Senator Lisa Murkowski says it opens the door to a bill that could finally open ANWR to oil development.
We have executed the first step.
But it's far from a done deal. Senate Democrats tried to remove the ANWR-related part yesterday. Their amendment failed 48-52. The only Republican who voted to block drilling was Susan Collins of Maine. The non-binding resolution then passed narrowly. It gets senators to the next stage, creating a reconciliation bill. According to Senate rules, this kind of bill cannot be filibustered, so it requires only 51 votes to pass. If ANWR drilling remains in the final reconciliation bill, it will be bundled with Republican tax cuts, and they are controversial, too. Murkowski says that's one of the challenges.
We will have to work aggressively to not only make sure that ANWR carries its weight, but that other aspects of the package are good and sound.
The next forum for the ANWR debate is likely to be the Senate Energy Committee, which Murkowski chairs. She says she plans to hold a hearing within the next couple of weeks. Petersburg High School's varsity volleyball team is back in town, recovering from 2 weekends worth of competition packed into one. The Vikings lost in the championship of the gold bracket at the Juno Jive tournament and then went undefeated at the first 2A seeding tournament of the season in Haines. Joe Vicnicki spoke with Coach Jamie Cabral about the busy weekend.
Juno Jive. You guys ended up in the championship game of that one.
Yeah, we did. It was a great tournament on the Jive tournament side. Busy. You know, to get into our pool play first, we played everybody one set to 25, and we used the points for that to seed how we would go into the bracket. And the top 6 teams went into the gold. The bottom 4 in the, out of those 10 went into the silver bracket. And we started off, our first game was Juno Douglas, and just got done playing them at home, and they were on fire. We ended up losing that first one 25-11, actually, just that one set to 25. And once we gained our control, we came back very well. And so our next game was against Mount Edgecombe, which is, you know, 3A state champion last year. And we ended up taking them, I think it was 25-21. And then once we found our groove, we were on a roll. We won 5 straight the rest of the day on Friday. And then Saturday had three more games, beat Thunder Mountain, beat Ketchikan, and then lost to Sitka in a close one. So we ended up number 3 out of the 10 teams that were there and matched up with Craig right out of the gate in the gold bracket and ended up taking care of them in 2 sets. And then, of course, we met up with Juno Douglas one more time, but just an incredible match with them. Lost the first close game, won the second, another decently close game, and then game 3 was nail biter that went a little bit extra. And with the tournament style, we just went 2 out of 3 in the bracket play. But it was kind of a nice hostile environment with all their fans and their parents and their fans there. It was just an amazing game. But I ended up winning that 17-15 to get in the championship game. And met up with Thunder Mountain. Long day there, but just could not get our first contacts in that championship game. We had a lot of service errors that kind of hurt us to gain some points. But a great run. First time for me in the Jive championship game, and first time for the girls for them. But they performed well. And then the next morning was, you know, waking up at 4:30 to head on up to Haines. But the Jive tournament was great. Good performances from everyone. Yeah.
So how did that Haines seeding tournament go?
Yeah, I went up to Haines and got in at about 11:30 in the morning and started play right at 1 o'clock. And we got 6 3-out-of-5 matches in there. The first game we met up with Metlakatla and went real well. They performed well for the lack of sleep that we had on waking up early and getting on the ferry. And then our next game later that evening was with Klawak. And we handled Klawak in the first 2 sets pretty handily. And then all of a sudden, game 3, I'm not sure if a fatigue piece kind of hit us, but Klawak started taking advantage of some deep shots on us and ended up winning game 3 on us, and then came back and won game 4 on us. So we ended up going 5, and we battled hard, really, really, really hard. And you could see fatigue was a little bit of a factor in just Klawak's different style of play, but ended up winning 15-11 in the 5th. And that was the 2 games we had Sunday night. And of course, we had the 8:30 game the next morning. So we got done probably about 9:30 Sunday night, 4 matches on Monday, and had Craig right off the bat at 8:30 in the morning. And the kids performed extremely well against Craig, and we beat them in 3. and then we played Skagway after that, played Haynes after that, and took care of both of those in three, and then wrangled the finale and beat them in three, and about 10 minutes after we got done with that game was grab our bags and run to the ferry. So the kids did great, 6-0, couldn't ask for a better weekend and a very tiring weekend. It was in the gym 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night every single day. So,
all right. So that's one of two seeding tournaments for you?
Yeah, one of two seeding tournaments. Our next seeding tournament, November 2, 3, and 4, down in Metlakatla, and that'll be the next time we play. So a good little break for them to be home and get healthy, take care of some homework, and make sure we study. We got the end of the quarter coming up, and so a nice little stretch here where we can fine-tune some things before the last seeding tournament, and then wrangle, and then regions here.
Jamie Cabral is the volleyball coach in Petersburg. There will be two chances to see the Vikings play at home next month, a match against Wrangell, November 9th, and the Region 5 tournament is in Petersburg starting November 16th. Concern over poor king salmon runs across the state drew a panel of fisheries experts together at a meeting Tuesday in Anchorage. Kayla DeRoche has more.
The event focused mainly on a better understanding of the science behind population declines. Panelists addressed the elements that play into ocean survivability like fishing, predation, and warming waters. National conservation nonprofit Trout Unlimited hosted the panel. Austin Williams, the group's legal and policy director in Alaska, says there are still a lot of gaps in knowledge. He says there is a real need for continued research to address some of the reasons king runs are weaker.
It's an issue not just confined to Cook Inlet or the Anchorage area. We have the Southeast Alaska Chinook runs have decreased dramatically and were entirely shut down this year. And then we've also, you know, some of the runs in Western Alaska have also been declining at alarming rates.
William says overall, the state has successfully managed its fisheries.
We need to continue to do that, and we need to continue to recognize that in the lean years when we don't have as many fish returning as we'd like, you know, we need to curtail back fishing. And when we have years of abundance, we need to make sure that we go fishing and enjoy that.
He says there's an overlay of politics and policy when managing the fisheries, but the panel looked at the things people have more control over, like sustainability. Panel moderator Dave Atchison, a sport fisher and journalist, called the event a start.
We were hoping that this will spawn a lot more action and maybe, you know, to have a whole full-day symposium in the future, and also to get groups like Trout Unlimited and other organizations to see what we might do to help support studies that might be needed and that sort of thing to keep our fisheries healthy.
Other speakers touched on the importance of freshwater habitat in conserving fish stocks and public involvement in protecting natural resources. In Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The 4th annual Annabelle Baker Poker Tournament is this Sunday here in Petersburg. This year, there's training available for people not familiar with the game. Proceeds are donated to Beat the Odds for cancer treatment, travel, and support. Joe Vicknicki spoke with organizer Jay Stanton Greger about the event.
One thing that looked new this year was new player training for people who haven't played this particular game.
Yeah, Desi Burrell had given me that feedback a couple of years in a row now as far as there's a lot of people who like to play but get kind of nervous. They might feel like they're in over their head, and she suggested we do kind of a tutorial, like a new player training full of, I always call it the poker for dummies cards, you know, of hand values, really giving people a chance to sit down and feel comfortable and sit and play for an hour to an hour and a half before we actually start to increase their confidence.
And the game is still the same, Texas Hold'em?
Yep, exactly the same. Same structure, no limit, Texas Hold'em.
Okay, and buy-in is, I think I saw $125 per player?
Absolutely. We've kind of kept the same structure throughout all 4 years. It's $125, $100 of which goes to the player's pot, and $25 to beat the odds. And during the first hour of play, if at any point you are below your starting amount of chips, are you able to rebuy back in for the same $125, which of same distribution of money, $100 to the player's pot and $25 to beat the odds. And at the end of that first hour, all players, regardless of chip stack, have an opportunity to add on another bag of chips for $125 with the same distribution. We try to give people an opportunity to donate and compete as much as they want.
So you can keep coming back.
Yep, for the first hour, it's a real free-for-all that way.
Okay.
And that's how we get to how we've really raised, you know, between 1,000 and 1,300 every year so far. And my personal goal this year is to have enough players to bring us up to get over the $2,000 mark.
Okay. That money has gone to beat the odds overall on the committee on which I sit for funding for cancer care and treatment.
And thank you for that.
Yes. So why is it important that you do this tournament? Is it still going on, and why are you still involved?
A couple of great questions there. I mean, first we'll talk about, you know, it's Annabelle Baker's tournament. As fall has rolled around, there's lots of different Annabelle Baker events in town. Annabelle Baker, she was a part of so many different things, whether it be artist, friend, athlete, survivor, and poker player. It was something she was really passionate about. And after she passed, I know from a player who played in a game with Annabelle regularly, it wasn't the same, and it still isn't the same. And myself and Jeb Morrow talked with her husband, Pat, and floated him the idea. It was like, hey, Pat, how would you feel about us doing this every year? And he was really touched by it, and one of Annabelle's things is she wanted to leave an imprint, to be remembered. And we thought this was really fun way to remember her every single year and compete, because she was fiercely competitive. I guess also, Joe, with that is she was a big believer in Beat the Odds. She was a part of Beat the Odds for a lot of years, and it made sense to really give to a cause that she really believed in also.
Okay, and does it go on for a number of hours?
Yeah, generally speaking, like after the first hour, we've got a lot of food is donated, so there's plenty of food and snacks there. So everyone takes a break, kind of assesses where they're at, and we've been done before 10 o'clock each night. The kind of the structure of blinds and whatnot goes up fairly steep after the break. No one wants to be playing till 3 in the morning, so you kind of accelerate the pace after that, and as I said, there's no more buying back in after that first hour, so when you're done, you're done.
Okay. You push all your chips in, and you lose, you're out.
That is it in a nutshell, and one thing, too, is players are all so supportive. I mean, 2 years ago I took second place, Derek Knudsen took first, and we've had, even those who don't win, are always, it's just a really good group. People are helpful. We might be competing against each other, but it's a really fun, light, laid-back environment.
Have you been playing long enough with this group that you're able to pick up some tells?
Oh, of course. Any good player can pick up tells on anybody they meet. No, I mean, I think that's one thing I like about tournament play is anybody can win. You can make the best decisions possible mathematically and still end up on the short end, because it is a game where there's luck involved, and I think that's the fun part for new players, and we've had new players in each tournament who have fared well. They've done really well, and I think one of the keys to No Limit Hold'em in a tournament is be patient. There's no rush.
Jay Stanton-Greger is the event organizer for the 4th Annual Annabelle Baker Poker Tournament. Tournament play starts at 4 p.m. on Sunday in the Tides Inn Conference Room. People hoping to learn the game can show up at 2:30 that afternoon. People are welcome to come and watch or take part. For more information, you can call or text Stanton-Greger at 406-202-0576. Citing the need to be ready when larger cruise ships start entering the Alaska market, the Ketchikan City Council voted unanimously yesterday to start moving forward with plans to expand to the downtown docks berths 1 and 2. The vote approved a $1.9 million contract with consultants Moffitt and Nickel. That contract will result in a 35% design proposal. Some design concepts already have been drafted and will be presented during an upcoming public input meeting. That meeting has not yet been scheduled. Port and Harbors Director Steve Corporon says that it will likely happen in early January. Councilmember Mark Flores says he understands there is some urgency for the city to be ready by 2019, but he cautions city officials to take the time to listen.
I know there's going to be a public hearing. I just want to make sure that while we're running through this at as efficient a rate as we can, that we really take the time to listen to the public and how this is going to impact other local businesses, other local ports, harbors, users, and make sure we have an open mind and are listening to their concerns.
Council member Julie Isom agreed. She added that tourism is the only industry in the region that's growing right now and says it's worth the investment. She also wondered at the lack of public comment. Nobody from the public came to Thursday's meeting to speak on that topic. In other matters, the council voted unanimously to approve a nearly $2 million contract with Vigor Alaska to overhaul the downtown docks berth 3 barge. Well, this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. We're going to be getting our stocks advisor on the phone momentarily. Stay with us. So it is Friday, October 20th, and we have Dan Berg joining us by telephone from Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Angela.
So what can you share with us this week? What's new?
Well, just when you think it can't get any better, it does. We had new highs for the last few weeks in the three major indices, and we had more this week, including a new round number in the Dow over 23,000. And what's turned stocks on a little bit more is that it looks as though the possibility of some sort of a tax cut, particularly in corporate America, a corporate tax cut is more likely. The Senate passed a budget resolution under the reconciliation, which means it can only last for 10 years, and also it takes only 50 votes, and it passed by 51 votes. So the market likes that possibility. According to a study by RBS, a corporate tax cut to a rate of about 20% from the current 35 max would be about a 7% increase in S&P 500 earnings. And so, you know, there's a reason why the market would be positive about it. In other economic news, the Fed Chair Yellen was fairly upbeat about the economy, and the futures market now has about a 90% chance of a rate hike in December. And speaking of rate hikes, there is a fairly major decision coming up by President Trump in who will replace Yellen or whether he'll keep Yellen. And that has implications for future interest rates and economic policy. And one of his top three choices, Mr. Taylor, would be in favor of much higher rates than they are now. So there's a chance the markets might react to what the president decides for his Fed governor. Over in the EU, the United Kingdom had more bad news. They just can't get the Brexit talk going very well, and so they're heading into another round, and the pound again is beginning to fall with the economic uncertainty in the UK. Over in Asia, the Chinese Communist Party is having its once in every 5 years Congress, and the market's looking at that fairly closely because there is a lot of debt in China, and there is a real need for reform in certain sectors. But the speech given by President Xi was fairly light on that. So that's something to keep an eye on as the Congress continues. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 23,328. That was a good 250-point gain. The NASDAQ closed at new highs, 6,629. That's a gain of 24 points on the week. And likewise, the S&P 500 now is at 2,575. Oil was virtually unchanged for the week at 51.47, just up 2 cents. The price is holding in there, and in the oil markets, the big news, of course, was that the Iraqi government forces have taken control of the Kurdish oil fields, and that means that there will be a continued supply from the Kurdish oil fields if they maintain control. Gold slipped a little bit to $1,277 an ounce, down about $76. Over in the bond market, of course, the tax reform talk pressured Treasury prices, and therefore yields went up somewhat. If they do approve this budget, that would increase the budget deficit by about $1.5 trillion. And so the 30-year Treasury went up to 2.89 from 2.81, and the 10-year is about 2.38, about a tenth of a percentage point gain on the week.
Thanks for that information, Dan. What about individual stocks?
Well, we're in the middle of earnings season, so there's lots of news everywhere. Some of the highlights include Johnson & Johnson, the big drug and healthcare company, J&J. Nice earnings report, closed at 142.40. Netflix, symbol NFLX, had a great report, including record numbers of subscribers here and overseas. However, the stock was fairly well priced already. That closed down to 194.15. United Health, the largest health insurer, symbol UNH, in spite of the controversy surrounding Obamacare, had a great earnings report, largely because of their analytics area called Optum that closed at 207.49. And a big surprise, IBM, one of those sad stories in the Dow over the last few years, symbol IBM, closed up sharply to 162.07. It looks like it's about a 12% gain this week. They finally look like their long string of lower revenues and profits may be over. GE, on the other hand, continues to be in a serious funk. GE went all the way down to 23.83 this week. They have a new CEO. There is a talk of a dividend cut, and the CEO said that they are thinking of selling about $20 billion worth of their businesses to streamline the company. Regarding Northwest issues, also some news. Nordstrom symbol JWN has been in talks to take the company private. They feel that the market is not valuing properly or is too harsh on retailers in the present Amazon-rich environment. However, they've suspended talks, and so the stock fell fairly sharply this week, down to 42.15. And then Boeing also has competitive news. Boeing really didn't have a bad week in the stock price at 264.75, but Airbus bought a smaller competitor, Bombardier, out of Canada, and so Airbus just added a new line of possibly competitive jets to Boeing. And then finally, Alaska Airlines symbol ALK closed at 79.69.
Pretty busy week. What about next week? What's on the horizon?
Well, next week doesn't have a whole lot going on in economic announcements in this country. We'll get the durable goods orders, among a few other things, so we'll get some of the pulse of the economy. But the real news will be in earnings announcements and discussions about that. Included in the tally are big companies in the tech world, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Microsoft. And then both GM and Ford are announcing earnings, and that will be watched closely because of GM's recent success in electronic controlled cars, and then finally Exxon, among others.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us this week, Dan, and we'll check in with you again next Friday.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Dan Berg is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, a trade name used by Wells Fargo Clearing Services, LLC, member SIPC. Neither Wells Fargo Advisors nor its financial professionals are legal or tax advisors.
This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. Thanks for listening.